calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. And welcome again to College Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me today will be Mike Gregg and David Holly. In this episode, we will be discussing the massive 4-0 victory for Fulham against QPR at Craven Cottage last night in the West London Derby. Before we get going, I have to say hello to my co-host first. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, Russ. Looking forward to the show. I'm in a better mood than I was on our post-show last week. So looking forward to talking about a good game from yesterday.
Listen, I look forward to going through it with you. Before I go over to David, I want to ask you one thing about one of your tweets before the match. You said, again, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly the words you said it, but you thought that the atmosphere was a little odd before the beginning of the match. Could you just explain?
Well, yeah, I got into the ground about 15 minutes before kickoff, and it was, I mean, our ground is always quite late filling up anyway, but it was just a weird atmosphere. There wasn't, you know, inside the ground, it was very, the Fulham fans especially were very quiet and apprehensive probably, or just not sure what we were going to see. And I think that sums up the season we've had so far. You know, we're expecting probably one good half, one bad half, and we just don't know what to expect. And, you know, a derby game, it didn't feel like that either. So it was just a weird atmosphere. It was odd, but within 2 or 3 minutes of the game kicking off, that all changed.
Okay, very good. And that was one of the reasons why I was curious, because I had a feeling that the atmosphere changed very quickly, especially after we scored our first goal. David, how are you doing, my friend?
Hi, well, it's nice to be on a post-match show. I can't remember the last time I did one of these. I'm sure it wasn't that long ago, but and certainly I can't remember the last time we've had such a convincing victory to talk about, you know, and fantastic game to talk about. Obviously, I was dreading Ross McCormack scoring one more goal, or QPR getting one goal, obviously, Ross, because you would have been unbearable at that point. And now, after all the times I'm right and I rub your nose in it, I'm sure you would have been looking for revenge.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about, David. Oh, are you talking about the prediction that I predicted 4-1 and the match was 4-0 and I predicted 3 goals from Ross McCormack? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's just as well you were wrong then, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was wrong. But what's funny about your prediction, David, see, you went back on your prediction. You actually predicted 3-2 on the show, which is great. It's recorded. I can play it back for you at another time. Then you went back and you were DMing us that again, you changed your mind because you weren't going to the match. So you changed it to a 2-1 loss. Is that okay for me to mention that? Oh, I'm sorry. I already mentioned that.
Well, no, you said you didn't accept it. You said we had to stick with my original my prediction that Fulham would win the match when
That's
many
right.
people said we wouldn't. So, no, we've got to stay with that, I think.
We are going to stay with that. I don't accept that. I just find it interesting that you changed your mind, but I am not going to accept that. So, yes, David, in a way, you were right because you predicted a Fulham victory. Boy, this show's going off to a really interesting start.
Okay, enough of our banter now, Russ, enough.
That's right, enough of our banter. Let's get into talking about the match. Mike, you were there. Just share with me your opening thoughts of what you witnessed there. And I have a feeling you weren't expecting that type of victory for Fulham.
I certainly wasn't expecting that victory, but I think the best thing was the performance. Just, you know, the whole 90 minutes from the first minute, our players were right on top of them and, you know, we were definitely up for it. As we just said, you know, the crowd was a bit apprehensive, but from kickoff, every player, you know, Pringle, Dembele, you know, especially the front guys, were right on their, you know, right on the back of their defence and, you know, looking for that ball. And so, yeah, I mean, the way the game panned out, it was great. It didn't feel like a derby, I have to be really honest, but you know, there were some great performances throughout the team and a brilliant result. And all you can hope for is that this is going to kick us on. We've got
right.
two important games coming up. And it isn't about scoring points, you know, oh, I think Kit's great or I think he should get the sack, which I've seen a few, you know. Oh, look, we've got a great team. I think we've discussed this before. We believe we've got the right players. We believe we've got players who are capable of producing that kind of result and performance. But they have to do it consistently.
That's right.
And Tuesday will be a real test. It's that's is it a false dawn, or are we going to carry it on to the next game and then the Charlton game before the international break? And that's what I'm looking forward to. And hopefully it is that this will give them the confidence to go forward, give the crowd confidence in some of the players as well. I was very pleased with, we'll talk about players later, but Dembele, Tunnicliffe, even Pringle, who's had a lot of pressure on him as well, all came through this game well. And the football was better than anything we saw last season and probably for the last couple of years, easily. And it was the Blackburn first half, but for a whole game. And first 30 minutes of the Blackburn game. And so,
Go ahead.
It was exactly that. We were passing the ball around and working for each other, which is key in this league. You have to, as a team, work for each other. And some of the newer players, like Stearman, you may not have come across on TV, but right in front of me, him and Lonergan are always talking. They're always telling players where to go. Stearman was speaking to Fredericks throughout the game. And finally, maybe a few of these new players have just settled in. And, let's hope it's going to kick us on.
Absolutely, Mike. I think you really nailed it. Listen, this was a 90-minute performance, but now moving forward, let's see if we can see this consistently. Let's see if we can see this in each match. It's asking a lot to play at that high level every single match. But again, to see a full performance, I'd like to see that again and again and again, if it's possible or close to that. But again, it definitely is encouraging. It was a great match, and I'm very happy, and look forward to going through this with you. David, over to you, and again, I know I was joking with you, but you actually did predict the victory, so good by you for actually predicting it, but I'm sure you didn't see this coming because, again, you were making fun of my prediction, which I understand. I was going out on a limb. I was predicting a route. It turned out to be that way, but again, did I really think it was going to be that dominating? Probably not, but I'm certainly happy with the result. What are your thoughts on what you watched?
Well, I've been scared every time there's a knock at the door in case it was the men with the white coats really come around to get me. So, but I think when we talk about predictions, I think what's probably was a better prediction by myself was when you asked me, what do we need to do to win the match? And I said, this is all about our attacking side of things. This is where our attacking players and our forwards have to take the game to them from the start or something like that. And I think that's what we saw. Our defence did well, but our defence weren't really troubled that much by it because we attacked from the front. And that's the difference. We saw much more movement and everything else. That was what really got me. And I know I was watching on telly, but which is, it's a shame I wasn't there. But even on telly, you could see there was so much movement off the ball by people. And that was also commented on by the commentators as well. And that's what made the difference. We created the space. We also played with more width. Both fullbacks got forward as well. Mike said it was as good as Blackburn. I think it was definitely better than the Blackburn performance, even the first 30 minutes. Because, Blackburn, I think, had a couple of chances still. And, QPR had that one chance, and that was it. That really was it. I think probably without argument, that's obviously our best performance of the season by far. And it's got to be our best performance since at least the Derby match at home last year, where we suddenly rolled our sleeves up and turned in a great performance. But in terms of footballing skills, it probably surpasses the Derby one as well, because the Derby one was a gritty game, I think, where we won everything in midfield and Scott Parker was immense. But this, we started to show our class and the interpassing between the more attacking players and the way we use the ball and, say, the width. So, it was a fabulous performance, and you wonder why we haven't been like that this season, where we suddenly got it from. We're hoping it's not going to be a one-off. If we can only play like that or something like that in most games, our league position and our prognosis would be a lot better.
Listen, I agree with you, David. And what's interesting, because I heard Kidd after the match on Sky Sports, and he said this, and I actually have to agree with him. We've seen bits and pieces of what we saw for 90 minutes. Like you guys both mentioned, we saw it in the Blackburn match. You know, again, for a short period of time, not for the entire match. You saw it now for 90 minutes. And again, I guess you could say there was an inkling that we could do it, but now you have actually seen it. And I'm glad that you brought up the Derby match, because I was thinking about that as well. This is different. I'm glad that you brought that up. This isn't the same. This is more of a free-flowing Fulham than that match. That was a more gritty match. So there are differences. It's similar to the Blackburn match, except that this was now for 90 minutes. This was from the beginning to the end. So I definitely agree with you there. That's what's impressive about this match. All right, guys, let's move on. David, I'll go right back to you. I want to give you major credit here. You did predict the starting 11, so I'm assuming you're happy with that starting lineup.
Well, I mean, I'm predicting Kit's starting 11. I would perhaps tinker with it a little bit. I loved what Mike suggested, as we talked about on the previous show. Obviously, I think it could be really suited, the wing-backs with, you know, which would answer the problem of do we play Dan Burn or do we play Tim Ream. And when what we saw from Fredericks, I think that even, you know, that enhances that even more. But, no, I mean, I think it's fairly predictable, maybe. It's not the hardest job in the world to guess Kit's lineup. I guess the only question was, I think, and Mike probably summed it up quite well, it's kind of any two from three in the midfield, and it would have either been that, or he would have played Kearney on the left and brought LVC in from the start, I think. But I thought Pringle looked quite good against Stoke, and he deserved his start, and I think that justified that. And likewise at the back, I couldn't see him making any changes really, because QPR don't pose that much of an aerial threat. He didn't need to make that change. So yeah, I mean, yes, it's 11 out of 11 in the lineup, but as I say, I think Kit's try to go with the same kind of starting 11 in the last few games, and in the main I think the solidity of it has shown, with several players who've had a bit of a run really starting to put in some good performances.
No, very good point there, David. You know, listen, several players really are starting to show what they're all about. That's what was great about that, and starting 11 was consistent except for Fredericks. I personally like that. Mike, what were your thoughts about the starting 11? Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I mean, it was there was a couple of choices for him to make, and I think, you know, for me it was either Ream or Byrne and LVC or Pringle. So, you know, there were the two choices given the players he had available, and he went with the new guys. And I think you may have mentioned it, I think Dave mentioned it on the previous show, but it would have been a big gamble really for Kit to not pick the new guys, you know, and so he went with them, and fair play, they produced the results. So I wasn't surprised by the lineup at all. My sort of three at the back, wing back, I don't know if you've looked at the average positions.
I did.
On the website,
I did actually.
Plus,
yeah.
But it almost looked 5-3-2, except you know, you had the two wing backs. They had the whole wings themselves.
Yeah.
Kearney and Pringle were inside, and O'Hara was the deeper man. So it was almost that, wasn't it?
It was.
So
it was.
And I think those two fullbacks are absolutely made for that. And so maybe in certain games, you know, against teams like Sheffield Wednesday, for example, you know, if they're going to bombard us with the high balls, then maybe that's a free centre-back type game you should consider in the future. And that's where you've got to see Kit. Is he flexible in his tactics going forward, because we have all these different options? But so yeah, I was happy. I wanted to see Fredericks, and you know, very pleased with him. Husband was so much better this week than last week, and although the club never said anything, I'm not convinced he was fully fit last week for whatever reasons. And yeah, there were no other changes I expected to be made, and I said earlier, you know, Pringle, he kept his place when he was probably under pressure, and turned in another good performance, and as they all did, you know, I can't fault any of them at the moment. So, yeah, pleased with the starting lineup, pleased with the subs as well that came on, and yeah, can't knock him for it. Gave him loads of criticism last week, but Kit got everything spot on last night.
He did, and we have to give Kit credit. We're going to rate him in the end as well. But it's funny because our friend Ben Reed wanted to make sure that we talked about Kit. And Ben, we are talking about Kit. I want to give Kit credit when it's deserved. He got everything right in this match. I'll just start off by saying that, but we will rate him in a little bit. All right, guys, what I thought I would do, we're just going to go through some of the key moments. We're just basically going through the goals. And then what I'll do is after I'm done with that, I'm just going to have you basically tell me which one was the key goal or the key moment, the one that stood out for you. So we'll start up really in the beginning. I mean, again, Fulham really started off second minute in. They score a goal. Again, a wonderful cross from James Husband, which is headed into the goal by Moussa Dembele. But again, we were at them right from the get-go. We put the pressure on, won ourselves a corner, and off we were. And then it led eventually to this early goal. And then the one opportunity in the first half that really stood out for me for QPR was in the 17th minute when Massimo Luongo had a wonderful chance to score, but his shot went to the side netting and went wide of the net. And, again, that was really a wonderful opportunity, but they did not capitalize. I'm talking about QPR. And it probably came back to bite them because 2 minutes later, Ben Pringle scored to make it 2-0 for him, a great goal. And then in the 31st minute, Fulham make it 3-0 with a goal by Ross McCormack, which had some wonderful passing with it from Tom Kearney and again, also from Ross McCormack, who basically started the whole thing up, and then he finished it off to make it 3-0. And then later on in the second half, he gets his second goal, which makes it 4-0. And then if we even got a little bit farther in stoppage time, Fulham, believe it or not, had a couple of chances to score. One by, the end of stoppage time in the first half, they had a couple of opportunities for Moussa Dembele and Ross McCormack. Then, of course, later on in the match, in stoppage time, they also had a chance or two to score. But again, this is more to do with Fulham for me than what was going on with QPR. I've heard many fans talk about what QPR were poor. That was true, but I think Fulham had a great deal to do with why they were so poor. Michael, go to you first. What moment stood out for you? What goal stood out for you, or just moment in general in this match?
There were so many, really. But you're going to have to go with Ross's first goal. I mean, personally, I didn't think Ross was having a great game up until he actually scored. He tried a couple of his usual sort of little passes, which weren't making our players. If you indulge me a little bit, I will just go through the 13 passes that we had for that goal.
Sure.
I tweeted it earlier, but it was Husband to Pringle to Husband to Ream to Fredericks to Sturman to Kearney to Ream to O'Hara to Husband to Ross to Husband to Kearney to McCormick, and it's 3-0. I mean, it was a great team goal. And I must have watched it about 4 or 5 times today, and it's the desire of some of the players to actually get to the ball before the QPR player. And QPR were poor. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt. I mean, you know, Austin had a couple of chances, but looked dangerous. But Sturman was winning every header that went near him. And yep. they were very, very disappointing, which is good. But likewise, you know, we were very good. You know, we were at the races all the time and working hard. We were tenacious in midfield. You know, Tunnicliffe, O'Hara, even Kearney, who's not the hardest player in the world. You know, they're all getting in there, getting stuck in, and LVC as well when he came on. So, but for me, the third goal summed the game up. We had control of the ball. We moved it quickly for once as well. It was one or two passes, maybe a little bit of a run with a couple of the players. But how often have we said over the last 2 or 3 years, how slow we are in our build-up? But this was different. This was getting the ball forward, players moving, and, a couple of touches from Ross, and he puts it away. So for me, it was the third goal, and it killed the game then. Even though being Fulham fans at half-time, we're all sort of a bit worried. But, instead of it being 2-1 at half-time, Ross makes it 3 and game over, really.
Mike, can I be honest with you? I don't think I relaxed until Ross McCormack scored the fourth goal. I'm being honest. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I did not relax until he scored that goal.
I relaxed probably about 5 or 10 minutes into the second half, and I realised QPR just weren't going to step up their game, and we were still playing at the same level. If we'd come out and sat back like we had done in recent games, then, yeah, you start getting a bit tetchy. But they were just not that good. And,
no, they weren't.
And we were so much better.
We were. And one other thing I do want to mention, you know, again, because – listen, it's a factor. You know, Charlie Austin goes off in the 59th minute. I could say I relaxed a little bit there, too. He goes off in the 59th minute with an injury. So I had a feeling, well, are they going to be able to score 3 goals at this point? Probably not. But I ultimately relaxed after Ross McCormack scored the 4th goal. All right, David, over to you. Again, I went through the goals and some other key moments. What stood out for you?
Well, obviously the first goal was important because we've dealt them a real blow while they're still cold, you know, not up and running. But, in fact, I was going to say the 4th goal was the killer because after half-time there was a slight resurgence by QPR. I wouldn't say that they were dominating, but they were in the game. They had their best spell between about the 45th and an hour mark until when Austin went off because they had a little spell there with a corner or two and everything. I wouldn't say they were looking dangerous, but that was when they probably had their most share of the ball, and even on Sky they were saying, you know, the next goal is the most important goal really, because had they pulled a goal back at that stage, QPR, you know, the nerves may have started to jangle a bit. So with Austin going off and then shortly afterwards getting that 4th goal, that absolutely killed the match dead. And you can see the way, you know, with QPR as well, any slight sign of whatever you know, Ramsey had told them at half-time and tried to buoy them up a bit, it just completely went away after that 4th goal. And I think we knew after that that it was just a matter of whether we could score any more or not, really. So I do agree with you on that. Although, obviously, clearly the 3rd goal in terms of the way, you know, it evolved, the build-up was the most classy goal, obviously. It was most certainly the 4th for me, which was the real kind of killer blow one.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Mike. I was still nervous, even up 3-0, David. Were you?
Well, I've seen what we can be like, and you know, Blackburn would be the epitome of that. Obviously, it's just from it's the same team basically from a couple of weeks ago. So the same could have happened had they got a goal. And as I say, I thought although they weren't dangerous, I thought they started to play a little bit better QPR the first 15 minutes of the second half. That was their best spell and probably our worst spell, although we weren't bad. But they got into more dangerous positions, and that's when the only time really our defence were tested at all. You know, we had that, you know, that header by Konchesky, which Lonergan saved, and, say, the corner that Austin got where he ultimately hurt himself, I think. Obviously, that corner was, I remember now, was a complete waste. It went off the other side of the pitch at an angle. But it was just for a few minutes then they started getting the ball in more advanced positions, and I just worried that we might let them back into the game, but we didn't. And as I say, when Austin went off, it was definitely a great fillip for us, and then that 4th goal shortly afterwards. And after that point, I was, you know, all my nerves and worries about previous failings, they went out the window at that point. I knew we were safe at that point.
Okay, very good, David. Again, I don't know why. I was still nervous. You know, I was still nervous even up 3-0. And, felt a little bit better when Charlie Austin went off. Not that he got injured, just that he went off. And then, obviously, the 4th goal, you know, at that point, I totally relaxed. And, guys, I'll just share with you real quickly because I watched the first half. You know, again, on a 2-inch screen on my mobile phone, I watched it waiting to pick up my son. 45 minutes. I got there early because I knew I had to pick up my son. I watched it on this little 2-inch screen. And I probably, you know, the school, I thought maybe we're going to be calling those men with white coats because I was screaming so loudly when we scored goals, David. I just thought I'd mention that part. I did watch the second half at home, but the first half was a little interesting, me watching it on this little 2-inch screen. And guys, we're all on the same DM, this group DM, and Steve Whittier kept telling me that we score goals because it was on a delay of like 30 seconds before. He kept giving me this little heads up or James Dowden that we scored. I knew we scored before I actually saw it, which again was probably a good thing because then I relaxed. Like, oh good, we scored another goal. So anyways, enough of talking about me. Let's now talk about stats. One thing I want to talk about real quickly about the halftime stats, because our co-host Emilio brought this up to me, Mike, and I want to get your thoughts. He thought this was very interesting. Do you know that QPR had more possession at the half than we did, at 54% to 46%? What does that tell you? Does that just show you that it's not all about possession?
Well, I mean, I wasn't at the stats the other day where it was 62% we had the ball and we didn't create it. I go back to the point I made earlier. We were moving the ball a lot quicker. So, you know, whereas we've kept the ball at the back a lot more, passing it between, you know, centre-backs and then the full-backs and back again, we were actually not being direct. What we were doing was passing the ball and getting the ball forward into a dangerous position. So it was QPR who took over that role of keeping the ball at the back. And also, I think, you know, because we were 3-0 up, 2-0 up, 3-0 up, they were trying to slow the game down a bit more. So they were keeping it and taking less risks as well to, you know, to try and settle it down. So it sort of made sense. I have to be honest, watching the game, it didn't feel like that, you know, because we were so dominant score-wise and attacking-wise. But I think, you know, looking back, it was because we were just getting the ball forward a lot more, you know, quicker. Down to, you know, the pace of the two fullbacks as well, because, you know, we've got that option with Dembele up top as well.
Okay, very good. And before we go into rating the players, I want to go through quickly our section we call Stat Attack. And again, these are the full-time stats I'm going to share with you, Mike, and then David, I'll get your thoughts on it. Real quick here, possession was even, pretty much, 50%. Total shots, Fulham had 13, QPR had 7. On target, we had 7, they only had 2. Shooting accuracy, 54% to 29%. Key passes in Fulham's favor, 11 to 6. Total passes, 498 to 493. Attacking passes, 307 to 282. Passing accuracy, we shaved that at 74% to 71%. This one was interesting. Crosses, 21 to 13. Crossing accuracy, 19% to 15%. Corners, which can be a telling stat, 5 to 2. And fouls, we only had 5, they had 10. Mike, what stands out to you with these full-time stats?
For me, it's our improvement in number of crosses. And again, you've got to put it down to partly down Konchesky's side. Frederick's got in some crosses, Kearney as well, LVC, Vosa even. You know, we were really attacking that side. But it's been one of our real weaknesses, and you know, Husband's delivery was brilliant, and it was a great header by Dembele. So for me, you know, it's a number of passes, both teams pretty similar, but I think, you know, for me it's the crosses, you know, and that's an improvement, and that's what you're looking for game on game, isn't it? Where are we improving? Are we stopping crosses? So we only allowed 13 this week. But we've also increased our own ratio as well. So for me, it's that one.
Mike, I totally agree with you. I actually circled that for myself because I thought that was a major improvement from what we've seen in the prior matches. Crosses, you know, crosses that we're giving up and crosses that we're actually giving to the other side. So that really stood out for me. How about you, David?
Well, I think we kept them higher up the pitch, so they had less opportunity to cross anyway. It's what, you know, again, defending from the front. But, you know, it's interesting that we didn't really have that many shots on target. You know, I think to get 4 goals from 7 shots on target is a very, very good ratio, and we probably won't always be as fortunate as that, let's say, if that's the right word to use. So I'd still like to see us, you know, getting more shots on target. Obviously, it was a massive, massive improvement from, you know, even like the Stoke game, we had 2 shots on target for Stoke. So a good improvement. But, you know, I think on other days, you know, it won't always work quite as well for us. It just, you know, we just fell nicely for us. It did really fall nicely for us, the fact that the way that we got into our positions to score. So, I mean, before the matches kicked off today, I think I noticed we were actually the highest scorers in the division, and that was without playing an extra match, of course, because we've got that game in hand. Well, we did
That's
have
right.
that game in hand. So, I think we had 15 goals this morning, where the next highest was 14. So we have been scoring okay, really, regardless of whether we create enough chances, whether we have enough shots on target or not. But I don't think scoring goals is particularly our issue this season. It's keeping them out of the other end, and that's going to be ultimately what determines our final position.
Okay, very good there, David. Very interesting analysis by the both of you. All right, let's now go to rating the players. And what we'll do this, we'll break it up into three parts. We'll break it up into Andy Lonergan as your goalkeeper and your back four, your midfielders, and then, of course, your strikers. So, David, I'll start with you. I'm going to give you now Andy Lonergan, goalkeeper, and the back four. I want you to rate them all together.
Oh, well, this is where I'm going to upset you, Russ, I'm afraid, or whatever.
Okay.
I find it hard to give Andy Lonergan a high mark because he had so little to do. I'm not saying he did anything wrong because he didn't, but he had one save to make, literally, and that was about it. It really was, and it was quite a comfortable save, Konchesky header. So I'm going to give Lonergan 6 out of 10, which is the average mark I give for an average performance.
Okay.
Just because he had nothing else to do, nothing against him otherwise. I think it was it was testament to the people in front of him that made it that way. Frederick's excellent debut, I thought. Exactly what I've been looking for from him. And I do hope that he gets another chance even when Richards is fit, because I think he's much more what we need. He offers us that width that I've been talking about, and obviously the pace. And what he lacked yesterday in perhaps ultimate sort of classic defending, he made up with his pace anyway. He was there to nip in and steal the ball back off people. There was a few kind of slightly harum scarum clearances, but, you know, I'm not going to be too harsh on him. And he got forward really well. And, you know, there was one particularly, obviously, great run for that fourth goal where he was slipped through, I think, by Tunnicliffe, and got behind again and showed exactly what pace he's got. So, for me, 7.5 for Fredericks.
Okay.
The two centre-backs, again, they didn't really have that much to do, not compared to how we've been in recent matches where we've conceded lots of crosses and corners. But I think everything they did well, they did, you know, at least adequately and probably better. We did win, you know, literally everything in the air, and I noticed Ream as well as Stearman mostly used the ball well on the ground, a couple of misplaced passes, but in the main, pretty good. So 7 for each of those.
Okay.
And then at left back, Husband, certainly we're going to miss him, because unless we extend him, that's it. He's off now, unfortunately. Again, I think his defending is more than competent, but what we really see the best of Husband is when he gets forward. He's got a great left foot, and he's got great pace as well. Maybe not quite in Frederick's class, but brilliant cross for the first goal, obviously. And we saw in the second half, actually in the first half, again, a great run where he got to the byline and pulled the ball back. And Musa would have scored had it not been for a last-ditch clearance. And then second half as well, great little run forward. He burst forward. So I'm going to give him 7.5 as well.
Okay, very good. And, David, you didn't disappoint me. I thought you gave pretty fair ratings. Very good. Very good ratings, David. You didn't disappoint me.
No, thanks. I mean, it's just Lonergan is the difficult one because he did so
okay.
little in the match that it's
No, I understand that one. That's why that doesn't surprise me, David. I honestly, you were very fair there, so... So, kudos to you. You were very fair. Mike, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, Lonergan is a difficult one. And for those who know me, I do the VRL Fulham match ratings. And, Lonergan came out as the lowest starting player score because he is difficult to mark. But I'm going to give him a 7. He made the save from Konchesky's header in the second half in that key sort of period. So he did well there. And I thought his communication to the back four was very loud. And him and Sturman were in talking to each other all the time, trying to calm things down, giving a lot of advice to Fredericks. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a 7. Fredericks, very pleased with him. I mean, he has got pace to burn, that's for sure. And it will be interesting to see him against a proper left winger, see what he's like defensively. But, you know, the amount of times he got down the right-hand side, got crosses in, got in the box. That's what I like to see. He's attacking the box as well. He's not just looking to get to the byline. And thought he linked up well. And he gets back quickly as well. He's not one of these,
absolutely,
you know, we're used to reefing, getting forward and then, you know, Rita waiting for the bus to get back. So, you know, get into position. But, you know, so to see someone running back to their, you know, their own proper right back position was really good. But I'm going to give him a 9. You know, I'm going to score higher than Dave. I'm pretty sure about that. But, you know, it was a great performance, 4-0. So, yeah, for Fredericks, a 9. For Husband, again, good performance. I'm going to give him an 8. It was a great cross for the goal. I thought he had to do a bit more defensively than Fredericks, and he came out of that well. And I think we can get him for another month. I think Middlesbrough are happy with that. I know Garbutt's back in training, and I think he might play in the under-21s on Monday. But just to cover him getting back to fully fitness, I'd like to see us go try and get him for another month. And you have to be honest, long-term-wise, even if he goes back to Borough, we need to be looking at putting a bid in for him in January or next summer. And
I totally agree with you.
He's, you know, Garbutt's going to be good. He's going to be, you know, my own view is we tried to bid for Husband in January. Garbutt, we speak to Everton and go, do you want to take him back in January? You know, needs a lot of things to fall back into place. But I think we need to pull out the stops to try and get him.
I agree with you, Mike.
I think Husband would come. As for the fullbacks, I didn't think they. Sorry, the centre backs didn't think they put a foot wrong. Ream, there's no doubt he's a decent footballer, got good control. He can beat a player as well. I'm going to give him an 8. Sturman, though, he was a captain at the back, talking all the time, winning every header. Okay, he wasn't being challenged like he has been in the previous 2 or 3 games. But he showed what I expect, you know, the Wolves fans have been seeing for the last few years. And I was very impressed by his leadership more than anything yesterday. So I'm going to give him a 9.
Very good there, Mike. Okay, and before I read the comments from West London Sport, I'm sorry, just the ratings. I'm not going to read the comments. Mike, right back to you. I want to just comment on what you just shared. The one thing that I really noticed was what you talked about, Ryan Fredericks getting back and being in position to help out defensively. I thought that was very impressive. The two things that stood out for me, you already basically mentioned that, and the leadership from Stearman. I think those are going to be key. Both of those features from those two players are going to be key moving forward, Mike.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, actually. I did write this down. I should have mentioned it. Fredericks is almost like a sweeper. A couple of times in the first half,
he did,
you know,
that, right.
The ball, you know, he's almost into a centre-back position, clearing the ball. And, okay, I like it. You know, I like a Rolex defender sometimes, and that's what he was doing. And but at least twice in that first half, he made up ground, getting out of his own position, getting behind maybe Sturman, and pinching the ball off the QPR player. So, yeah, it's such a joy to see someone with some pace. Finally, you know, I don't think we've had anyone like this for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it just makes so much difference.
I totally agree. Okay, real quickly, here are the ratings from West London Sport. David, they agree with you with Andy Lonergan. They gave him a 6. Ryan Fredericks, they gave an 8. Richard Stearman had a 7. Tim Ream also had a 7. And James Husband had an 8. All right, guys, let's now move to the midfield. And, Mike, I'll go to you. I want you to rate now Tom Kearney, Jamie O'Hara, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and Ben Pringle.
Okay, I'll start with O'Hara. We know he was injured for Tuesday, and he only lasted yesterday for about an hour, just over an hour. But he gave everything. His passing was probably not as good as we have seen. But, again, it's we've got to we've got some players in there who are leaders who get involved and get stuck in, and he was pinching the ball off of the QPR players or intercepting it and kept the ball rotating and didn't do too many of his long passes. So not as good a performance as he's done recently, but still very good, and I'm going to give him an 8. Kearney, you know, playing that sort of inside position, we were talking about how Fredericks can get down the wings, and it's clear Kearney is not, you know, he's not comfortable wide right, playing that sort of winger type role. That's not him at all. So if we can get him inside like he was yesterday, we're going to see passes like we did for Ross's goal, and his all-round game yesterday, he showed a bit of battle, a bit of fight. I think it was him who did Konchesky as well. So he has got, you know, a little bit of naughtiness in him, shall we say. But I thought, again, it was, you know, it was probably his best game, certainly at the Cottage. And so I'll give him an 8.5. Pringle worked so hard, and he his goal, you know, he made it himself, really. He won the ball. Great little shot from outside the box. Just got a couple now for us, and he's been under pressure. So it was a big game for him. I wasn't so sure about playing him yesterday. And he's certainly struggling the last 10 minutes. We'd made all the subs, and, you know, he was, you know, fitness-wise struggling. But, again, passing range, probably wasn't involved as much as he'd like to be, but he was right in their face, right, you know, battling away, and you can't have a midfield of just, you know, Kearney, O'Hara all passing the ball around. Someone's got to do the hard work, and he was doing that yesterday for us, and the fans in the ground appreciated it, which was good, considering he's had a bit of jip from them. And Tunnicliffe, who for me was our man of the match, he didn't have the fancy role, but he was up and down the pitch all the time, and involved in pretty much everything, apart from the third goal. But his running off the ball was quite good. But he stopped doing all these little fancy tricks that really annoyed me, and he's just doing that job of protecting O'Hara and Kearney, and you know, getting the ball, giving it to them, let them do all the work. But for me, 9.5 for Tunnicliffe. He was my man of the match.
Okay, very good. Excellent. And it's funny because Emilio, our co-host, had him as man of the match. So I've seen other fans. But again, what's interesting, I'll be sharing what the fans said, man of the match. It's kind of all over the place, but certainly Ryan Tunnicliffe has many fans pointing to him as their man of the match. So, David, over to you.
Well, what's interesting as well, and I know it wasn't strictly so, but QPR had 3 in central midfield and we only had 2, so, and yet we won the battle in the midfield most certainly, which is probably by virtue of the fact that Kearney was coming inside a little bit, of course. So for me, I thought Kearney was excellent. He used the ball very, very well. Obviously came into the centre second half after the substitutions, but one of the best games, I think, certainly all-round games for me, for him, for Fulham. So I gave him 8 out of 10. O'Hara, I thought, first half he was excellent. Perhaps he did tire a little bit second half. I think it was his birthday as well, so don't want to be too harsh on him. But he was involved as ever. I think he did use the ball mostly quite well, but he was getting stuck in as well. For me, I think 7.5 out of 10. Ben Pringle, I think, you know, some good use of the ball. Sometimes he's just not quite strong enough in the challenge, unfortunately. That just, for me, that would be my only complaint about him, that 50-50s, he doesn't seem to win enough of them. He gets a foot sometimes in, but not enough of a foot. But excellent goal, well-taken goal, justified keeping his place there. He's clearly got a great left foot, and when he can use it, he can cause a lot of damage with that. Yeah, I think he did tire again towards the end. We've seen this a few times with him. So also 7.5 for me. And what I thought would be my controversial one, but obviously not, for me, Ryan Tunnicliffe, man of the match, by a mile, really. I thought he was brilliant. He did everything right. He was winning the ball. He used the ball well. Great ball inside, for that, which led to the fourth goal with Ryan Fredericks' overlap. So, you know, brilliant by Ryan Tynecliffe, and if he can play like that, it's going to be hard for Parker to get back in team, I thought, because he had a lot of energy and determination, and he obviously knew what it's like to play in a local derby, so 9 out of 10 for me.
Wow, David, that's excellent. You know, so both you and Mike have Ryan Tynecliffe as your man of the match. Like I said, along with our co-host Emilio mentioned it as well, so sounds like the three of you are all on the same plane there. Fantastic. All right, and I think you guys will find this interesting, because now I'm going to give you the West London sport ratings. They had Tom Kearney at 8, Jamie O'Hara also at 8, Ben Pringle at 8. Guys, they had Ryan Tynecliffe at 7. Did they watch the same match we watched? Probably not. I'm just kidding. Because I was actually a little bit surprised, because I'm with you guys. I thought, you know, to be honest with you, I thought Ryan Tynecliffe was the man of the match as well, so I was a little bit surprised by that rating, but I wanted to share that. All right, David, back to you. Let's talk about the strikers up front. I'm curious your thoughts on Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembélé.
Well, they both scored goals, so they've you know, done what they're in the team to do. So for starters, you've got to give them credit for that. I thought Ross, and you know, on telly again, they were talking a lot about his movement off the ball and how well he does, and he was popping up all over the place, you know, and we saw what talent he has. I mean, that little flick he did that nearly led to a goal for Vosa was fantastic. I don't know if he was if it was his best game. I don't think it was his best game for Fulham by a long way, but he scored twice, and you know, could have had, got into position to score others as well, so I don't think we can have too many complaints about him. Just perhaps sometimes we'd like him to be in the danger area more, rather than coming short and going deep and going wide. But that seems to be the way he likes to play. So another 7.5 for me for him. Dembélé, I thought, was excellent again. He really has benefited from this run in the team. And I think we've seen, you know, the start, hopefully, of these floodgates to open, that he's got straight in there with a typical centre-forwards goal with a great header from a very, very good cross. And it was very, very close to getting others. It was just last-ditch tackles and things were getting in the way. And, you know, he really, you know, he's got to keep his place in the team. I mean, I've still seen talk about Fulham looking to sign Carl Hooper or whoever else, Uncle Tom Cobley. But God knows why they'd want to do that, because they've got to keep him in the team. And even when Smith is back, I think keep him in the team with Smith as the plan B, because he's just going to get better and better. And I see, obviously, Man United have got their poor man's version of Dembélé in the team. They've signed him from France for 10 times as much money. And, you know, so I think we've started the trend there. So we've got to keep him in. 8 out of 10 for me for Moussa.
Great stuff on both of these guys, especially on Moussa Dembélé. David, I'm right there with you. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you, because David was basically talking about what you've been talking. You wanted to see Dembélé play on a regular basis along with Woodrow. You know, Woodrow's coming off the bench, but he is really emerging. I think the more he plays, Mike, I think the better he's going to get. I'm curious the ratings for both of these strikers.
Well, I'll start with Ross, actually. I mentioned it earlier. I did think he's, you know, we were one up and then two up, but I still thought, you know, this Ross wasn't quite there. He wasn't with the game. He misplaced a couple of passes. But as soon as he got his goal, he was a different player. And I did tweet during the game, you know, it's the same old thing. If he stays up front, he will score goals. And the second half, he hardly ever came deep to get the ball. And, you know, that is his role. And especially with Dembélé, he's causing so many problems for defenders at the moment. You know, he just needs to be closer to him and closer to the centre-backs and stop coming into midfield. And the fact that you look at that average position thing, and the midfielders were narrow in the sense that our midfielders were inside the pitch, but we had the width with the full-backs. He doesn't then have to go deep because it's too crowded anyway. But he took his first goal really well. He was in the right position for the second goal. You know, that's a... I've criticised him for being a scorer of goals and not a goal scorer, but he was, you know, inside the 6-yard box, put it away. And he played really well second half. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10. And Dembélé, well, how long have I banged on about him?
Yeah.
You know, where others have said he's not up to it, and he's a flat track bully, and he's good at 18s and 21s because of his size and all that. And I knew that was rubbish ever since I first saw this guy. And I'm disappointed he didn't play more in the second half of last year, because he only played like a couple of games. But he's worked hard since Christmas. He's built himself up a bit more, and he's added a lot to his game. And it's this run of games, and he's enjoying the adulation of the crowd, definitely. I think he understands that, you know, him and Woodrow are for the same position. And so he goes off after an hour, but you're not seeing him looking miserable and kicking anything. He's applauding the fans. He's done his job. And I think he's understanding his role in the team now. And it's all about having a run, and it's about having a run for other players as well, be them new players that come in, experienced players or young ones. You've got to give them 4, 5, 6 games to get used to, having that type of thing. Everyone has a go about Kaká, but he's never played more than 4 games in a row, the poor lad. He's in and out on the left, on the right. But Dembele, I'm so pleased for him. All I want is Khan's over here. He should be in a room today. They should be locked in the room to sign that contract.
I agree with you, Mike.
Offer him whatever, because we will get the money back. Whether he goes next summer, whatever, we will, you know, as long as we've got him under a contract, we'll get whatever we're going to pay him in wages. And he's going to be a top Premier League striker in the next 2 to 3 years. Love it to be with us. I doubt it will be. But if he can help us get promotion this year, then just pay him what he wants. And I agree with David. Let's not go looking for another striker to mess things up. We've got 3 strikers at the moment. We've got Smith to come back. We just need the 4. And they're all different in their own way, and we can adapt game by game. And just stick with what we have. But I'm so pleased for the lad. So, yeah, 9 out of 10.
Excellent, Mike. And the only thing I want to add is that every time he touches the ball, he's dangerous. Either he's looking to do it himself or looking for a teammate. Again, I don't understand the criticism over the years about him, because he is developing and he just needs to keep on playing. At this point, guys, I agree with you, Mike. I don't think we need another striker. Don't bring in another striker. Stick with this kid. Matt Smith is coming back. You don't need another striker. I think he's only going to get better and better. And whatever it takes to get him to sign a contract, try your best. Do what you can to get him to sign a contract, like you just said, Mike. You know, maybe someday he'll be off with another team. But if he helps us get to promotion, it's well worth it. So hopefully they can get him to sign a new deal. All right, guys. We only have a little over 7 minutes left. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm just going to read some comments from the Fulham supporters on the man of the match, and then I'll get your thoughts on rating Kit, and that's how we'll finish off. Let's start with Ben Reed. When we're talking about his man of the match, he gave it to Kit Simons. He says he got everything absolutely spot on, subbing O'Hara and Dembele at 4-0 to give them their well-deserved ovation shows. He has great man management skills. Fredericks has been carrying a knock the past 10 days, so bring on Bozer, who looked a much better right back than left back, incidentally, was a good move too. He also wanted to mention, and the fans were great too. Best atmosphere at a match for ages. Tomina Rahman said, too close to call, just about every player on the pitch played well last night. Matthew Vidiello said, thought Stearman was immense tonight. Tunnicliffe also really came into his own. Reg Hall said, Tunnicliffe for me. Stephen O'Keefe said, Tim Ream, class act. Chris Boss said, Fredericks for me. Steve Whittier said, had to choose from 3 on the website, so I chose O'Hara. My personal choice was an unsung hero, Stearman. He ensured we were solid in defense. Without, we wouldn't have been able to focus on our attacking side. Gags Owen said, Fulham get my man of the match, solid 90-plus minutes. Yavor Alexiev says, I have to say Tunnicliffe. Andy Newland said, for me, it was Ben Pringle. Daniel Stock said, Pringle for me, too. And finally, Harriet Oglethorpe chimed in. She said, as I said in a post yesterday, the whole team. But if I had to pick one, I'd say Dembele for his goal, overall desire, and relentlessly bothering the QPR center backs. Great commentary from all the Fulham supporters. And, Mike, over to you. What are your thoughts about what the Fulham supporters had to share for their –
their votes for man of the match.
Well, I think it showed it was a real team performance, wasn't it? And, you know, very difficult to pick out one particular player who was a star, which is, you know, you go back over the previous seven league games, most of them being very easy to pick who the best player was. So finally, a proper 90-minute team performance, and, you know, you can't fault anyone. Even the subs, I know we're not going to rate them, but all three of them came on, all did a decent job. Bosa swinging with his left foot should have scored. but good thing as well is LVC shown something in the last couple of games. He came
on
yesterday, did some good stuff, and even Woodrow. As well. And so a little bit of depth there as well, which is important. And with players coming back from injuries, and I'm not sure about Kit as man in a match. I never agree with that one. But that's Ben for you. It was very difficult to pick one particular player, that's for sure.
I totally agree with that. I'm going with you guys, and I'm saying Ryan Tunnicliffe. David, real quick, your thoughts on what the Fulham supporters had to share with man of the match.
No, they're right. I mean, it was a team performance in the main, so I think you justifiably could argue the case for, you know, several of them to be man of the match. Just for me, Ryan Tunnicliffe really stood out with his all-action display there, but I think, you know, there was cases to be made for others, so that's fair enough. Please tell us what West London Sports said very quickly about the strikers.
Oh, I'm sorry, David. I forgot to share that as well. They both gave Dembele and McCormack an 8.
Wonderful.
Okay, very good. Thank you for correcting me. I forgot to mention that. I appreciate that, David. All right, last part of business for this show. We only have 3 minutes left. Let's rate Kit, David. I'll start with you.
Well, for me, the standout was Ryan Tunnicliffe, and I gave him 9 out of 10. So I'm going to afford Kit the same luxury, 9 out of 10 as well. I'm sure there was probably something he could have done slightly better, but it's going to be hard to find. For me personally, I was disappointed to see Fredericks go off for Vosa, but I understand why that was. Also, I was a bit disappointed to see Dembele go off. I don't think he was struggling. I'd have liked to have seen him have a few minutes longer, maybe see if he could get another goal against the tiring and demoralised defence. Certainly, we want to see Dembele getting as much game time as possible and more goals, but, you know, you can't really argue that Kit made a mistake in taking him off. So, say 9 out of 10 for me, I think, almost about as best we've seen from Kit.
Okay, excellent. And David, I agree with you. Again, it's very hard to argue too much that Kit did wrong in this match, so I see where you're going on 9 out of 10. Mike, we only got 2 minutes left. Share with me your rating for Kit.
Okay, just as we rate him low for poor games, I'll rate him high yesterday. So I'm going to give him the same as I gave Tunnicliffe, 9.5. I can't give him a 10 because, like David, well, he did nothing wrong. He picked the right team. We attacked the right positions, and they were there from the off. And obviously his team talk at halftime wasn't the usual disaster. So, you know, it was. but I could argue about a couple of the subs. I would have made a couple of different ones. But the Fredericks one made sense because he had an injury last week. So, yeah. He did nothing wrong. So, yeah, you've got to praise him. But the important
Absolutely.
Thing is you've got to take it into the next game. It can't, you know, this is the standard. And those players, and Kit as well, have to follow it through. And so Tuesday will be very interesting. Wolves are, you know, they're not doing great, but they're a difficult side to play. And we need another win because potentially we could be in the top six at the international break, which would be great.
Absolutely. Great take there. Great show by the both of you. You guys were excellent today. Really excellent. Great stuff. And I also want to give credit to Kit. All right, guys, we've got to wrap up the show. For Mike and David, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys, and thank you.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers,
Mike.
Cheers.
See you, Mike. See you, Russ. Cheers, everyone.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't